Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And man, I think they put a new headphone jack over here, Anthony, and it's in a really bad place for the chair. And I think I knocked the headphones, and now, oh, there we go. Now I got it, sound in both ears, but I was, nope. I'm like losing sound in my right ear. It's not ideal. Might need to go get my adapter and use a different jack.
Do you have sound in both ears?
Normally, because that's how headphones are supposed to work.
I never do. That's why I wear mine like
there's
this.
The jack is messed up over there, but I'll hear. Now I won't be able to hear you for a second, but look at this. You see how crooked that is?
Yes.
It's That's not what a headphone crooked. Jack is supposed to look like.
It's crook.
So we're going to have a word with our folks that... Where does this go? Oh, there we go. We have to have a word with the folks who put this in and thought it was a good idea to put it right where the arm of the chair is, because that's not how this should go. We're going to have to see if that can get moved. Now I can't get any sound. Anthony, while I figure out my headphones, you want to hit the pick six intro?
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, we're going to do this somewhat headphoneless, which is not ideal. I can't hear anything. Anthony, I'm going to have you do me a favor here. In my locker, this is live radio producing. In my locker, there is a quarter-inch adapter. You know what I'm talking about? If you can grab that for me, that would be great, because I'm flying blind right now. So I'm going to assume this button's going to work, and we're going to dive right into our pick six.
Number one.
Yeah, number one is Sam Cosmi got an extension. Yay! We love this for Sam Cosmi. He's been an excellent player, course, for Washington. Definitely their best offensive lineman. So what was it like to work with Adam Peters and his agent and everybody and get all that together?
Hey, for Jesus Christ, for just, you know, blessing me and, you know, giving me and my family this blessing. Without him, you know, none of this would be possible. So I want to just first and foremost say that. And then, you know, my family, my parents, you know, they came from, I'm first generation here. You know, this is a huge thing just for me and my family to have this opportunity to work towards this. And, you know, they came to this country with just the shirt, you know, just the backpack and the shirts on their back. So to do something like this and for them to give me this opportunity is huge. So I just want to thank my family and you know, everybody that was involved throughout this whole process. And the way I feel, I'm just super blessed. I'm so super grateful, and it just makes me want to work even harder. You know, I'm thankful to this organization. I'm thankful for the people that, you know, were involved into this. You know, Ryan Toller, my agent, you know, he was awesome with this, and then, you know, AP and all the guys on this part. So I'm just thankful to everybody that was involved in this, for sure.
Awesome for Cosmi, man. You can tell how much it means to him. I mean, what a story too, by the way, his family story, first generation American, plays the ultimate American game and lives the ultimate American story. He's great at it. He perseveres through some various circumstances, both injury and position switch and the whole deal. And he gets this, and he's a dude who sets a tone. He's got a nasty streak. Like, everybody loves playing with the guy. And that certainly includes his new quarterback, the guy he's going to line up in front of. That's Jaden Daniels.
Man, Sam deserves it. Happy for him. Obviously, we heard the news earlier. But he deserves it. It's going to be it's good for him and his family. It's good for us long term to have a player like that, a cornerstone piece moving forward.
It's awesome. Awesome for the team as well. The less questions you have on your offensive line, especially when you got a young quarterback, we call that better for the old program. And so Sam Cosmi locked in. And now you got to prepare for Tampa, which means Todd Bowles.
Number two.
Bowles, known as a guy that will blitz in a lot of different situations, shown it for years and years and years in Tampa. And Daniels talked today about preparing for not just protecting himself, but how do you take advantage of those situations?
Be successful. I mean, just talk about it in the protection meeting, stuff like that. Be able to just communicate. This is what they're seeing. This is the call that we're thinking. And then we go out to practice. Obviously, we're just trying to get everybody on the same page.
No doubt about it. And what is Sam Cosmi seeing in his preparation for Tampa?
You know, a high blitzing team, very talented. You know, they have a lot of good players. You know, made the playoffs last year. Did really good during that time. You know, just they're really, really overall really solid team. And so, you know, it's going to be a good matchup. We're expecting a fist fight, you know, you know, we're going to do everything we can to be the ones on top.
And as for those blitzes, what do Cosmi and his mates up front have to do to pick it up and keep Daniels clean in his first career start?
You know, they, like I said, they bring a lot of, they're like the third highest blitzing team from what I've heard. You know, just going based off our rules. Our game plan and just over communicating, just being abundantly of communication when it comes to, you know, what we see out there in the film room, on the practice field, those type of things. And the thing is about this unit, we got a lot of smart guys on this unit, a lot of guys that know ball, and you know, can see things working out and before it happens type of thing. So
the unstated part there is that Cliff Kingsbury has got to make sure he calls a clean game for Daniels and that line to protect them. Like, you know, as a coach, what situations are going to invite blitzes, what situations Bowles likes to bring pressure in. And while it's game one and new personnel and everything, you might not know exactly what the pressure is. If you know it's coming, do you have answers with the screen game? Do you have answers with some running? You know, can you kind of undress the blitz, run away from it? Like, there are things you can do. Do you know we got one-on-ones on the outside and we're going to, you know, our blitz plan early in the season is to throw deep and take some shots. Like, whatever the plan is, they just got to make sure that they're ready in those situations. And that starts with Cliff and the play calls more so than the players himself. And, you know, for Dan Quinn and the way he's looking at it, he feels like Daniels is actually the perfect weapon to go up against a team that likes to blitz as much as Tampa does.
Yeah, it's a good question because of you have to be able to process quickly, John, because part of the blitz package is showing blitz, getting out, showing blitz, bringing it. And that's part of the disguise that goes with that. And so for Jaden, the ability to process things quickly, sometimes as a quarterback, you need to speed it up in terms of, okay, this is an unblocked player. We're only protecting with five. They're bringing six. How do we get it, you know, to the playmaker and get yards in that way? So it's one of the things that, you know, he's been strong with, decision making and the ability to speed it up.
And we'll see if he can do that. I mean, we saw the example in the Miami game where he threw the ball over Terry McLaurin's head, but he knew I had pressure and we don't have it picked up and I got to get rid of the football. He avoids taking a big hit, avoids a turnover. That kind of football can get you a long, long way. One last thing on Sam Cosmi before we break in the middle of our pick six here. We'll pick up with the last three storylines we have for you on this Wednesday in just a minute. But
number three,
why did Sam Cosmi, before we fully get away from the O-line and the man who just signed a big old $76 million extension, why was Sam Cosmi comfortable signing in Washington? Well, he wanted to be a part of a future that he thinks is pretty bright.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited for what this team's future has ahead. I think AP is really putting together something special, you know, and DQ, and I'm excited to be a part of it. It's so different from the past 3 years that I've been here, and so to feel that, to the atmosphere is just different. And you kind of just see that. I think everybody sees it. And so we need to put it together this season, and I think we will. And I think we got the guys to do it. So I'm excited for the season.
I think that he speaks for a lot of us. We're excited to see what they can do. Obviously, a lot to do, whether it's on that offensive line. And he might have a bunch of new teammates over the next years that he's just signed this extension for. But I do think that they got him right, and they'd rather lock that in sooner rather than later. And now that they feel comfortable with his work ethic and that he really fits the future. Like, Sam Cosmi embodied the future, even though he came from the past. And that's why they lock him up. And congrats again to Sam Cosmi on the new deal. More on Tampa and more from Dan Quinn next in the back half of our Pick 6, including Quinn's opening statement, the thing that he wants everyone to know heading into Week 1 against the Buccaneers. It's the Huffman Show on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's the Huffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It is a competition Wednesday. Anthony and I picked some games earlier. We set some stakes, too. If you want to check that out, just rewind in the Odyssey app to 4:30, and you can hear what that is all about. But it was the first competition Wednesday for the Commanders here ahead of Week 1, Jaden Daniels' NFL debut against the Bucs, and we are in the middle of our Pick 6 at 6.
Number 4.
All right, number 4 is the opening statement for the week. Dan Quinn's a big message guy. Very, very good at the messaging of what he wants. And that matters to the fan base and makes us all feel good. But I think it also is good for the team. Everything is clear, communicated, and very much on the same page. So what was his opening statement as we head full throttle towards Tampa Bay on Sunday?
This is a really good coach and part of the alumni group, but not this week. So, but Todd's an excellent coach, and when we matched up against numbers of times, and a lot of respect for him. Offensively, when you think about Tampa, there's playmakers, you know, and there's outside at receiver and at running back as well, and quarterback. And so that presents the challenge, you know, for the defense, you know, quarterback who can extend plays and receivers with size to go extend plays. And so those are, you know, definitely the ones that I've certainly been impressed by the back. This is a true every down back that you can get this many catches, this many runs. And that doesn't happen as much anymore in our league. And so respect for that. Defensively, this is a group that's really known for their blitz package. I think that's one of the things, you know, through the years with Todd that, you know, always been impressed with by watching their teams, the run defense, and then for them, some playmakers both at safety, you know, linebacker, and a defensive line. They've kept a, you know, deep crew, it feels like, for a while, you know, a defensive line and some good ones. Then I think the special teams matchup, everybody's kind of smiling and waiting to see. They've got a good kicker, punter, and then we're all wanting to see on kickoff and kickoff return what that looks like. And you know, we'll see it all. We can get it all, some weather, maybe some thunderstorms. So like, everything's on the table, and it's a great matchup. These are two tough teams that are going to have to really battle for it. And that's exactly, you know, kind of what you're looking for in your opening game to get.
Something we got to track this season, Anthony Haney. Does Dan Quinn frequently, does he frequently talk about punters and kickers in his opening statements? Every coach does it a little bit differently.
He definitely does.
I hope that he I hope that he does.
It's important, though.
Yeah. I mean, it is, especially like he said, now with the way the rules are on kickoff, like gotta, you know, have that part of the game covered. But when you're listing off, hey, Rashad White's really dangerous, you know, they got some great receivers, you know, Bowles blitz package. By the way, their punter and kicker's really good. I just think that's a coach speak foul. Throwing the flag on Dan Quinn. We gotta be careful of that. We don't do coach speak sound bites on this show. We gave you a shot, Dan. We gave you a shot. Next week, Anthony, potentially some more editing.
Still less.
All right. But he's right. There's a ton of talent on this Tampa team. You know, Baker's super hot and cold. He's on. Good luck. He's off. your luck is good and you're going to have some chances. And that's the thing is, no matter what, really, you're going to have some chances to make some plays. He is going to put some balls up there. And I think this is going to be a huge test. We'll talk about this later in the week and the more we get into Tampa. But we are definitely going to learn something about Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice this week.
Number five.
Number five in our pick six at six. What are the things that you don't want to see on Sunday? We spend so much time. Hey, what do you want to see on Sunday? Hey, let's flip the question. Dan Quinn, what is it that you don't want to see on Sunday against the Buccaneers?
At the end of it, you know, like our core principles, obviously, is, you know, taking care of the ball, going after it, you know, our tackling, you know, the communication that we need to see. Those are right at the core. So I want to see those every time we play. You know, the discipline usually wins out, you know, in an opening game, because the same nervous energy Tampa has on the same things. I haven't seen this, you know, like both of them have that, you know, both teams have that. But who can have the discipline to pre-snap, post-snap, stay in it, play the next play, play the next one? And again, a game like this, it's going to be a hard fought. It's going to go all the way down to the end. And we'll be prepared for that, knowing that, like, good, tough games, it takes the whole game to win it. And we have no doubt this one's going to be a tough one for sure. And it'll take the whole afternoon and into the evening. And if it has to go past that, we'll be ready for that too.
What is Dan Quinn wishing for? Does he want a double overtime game? Dan, they've stopped playing eventually. It's overtime. It's 10 minutes long. It would really mess up our post-game show.
I mean, I guess he was more so just saying, you know, the game starts in the afternoon.
And the 4:25 kick. We got it.
But if it goes to the night, oh, well.
Hey, I mean, I guess. By the way, Take Command post-game show. We should have a fun announcement of that tomorrow. Of how we're going to do that this year. But 7:30, you want to be on YouTube if you want it live on Sunday night. Of course, if you're subscribed to Take Command, you'll get it straight away. But we're going to do something fun with the post-game show this year, so make sure that you are tuned in for that. And that'll happen at 7:30, as long as it's after the game, because apparently Dan Quinn is going to find ways to extend the football game. But I think the message is good, right? It doesn't matter how long we got to play. It doesn't matter if it goes to overtime. It doesn't matter if it's a tight game in the fourth quarter. We're ready. We practice. We're prepared. And I do think on a more functional level, like, they are. They did a ton of situational work. They're ready for red zone stuff. They're ready for 2 minute. They're ready for 4 minute, because they practice that stuff as much as any team that I've ever seen in any training camp that I've been a part of in terms of covering. Obviously never participated in one. But in terms of covering, over 8 years or whatever it's been that I've been doing this, 9 years, almost 10 years that I've been covering camps and covering teams up close in the way that I have covered the Commanders. Shoot, man. Like, they are ready. They got to execute, but at least they're prepared, which is nice.
Number six.
All right, last but not least, what about the rookies? How comfortable are you with Brandon Coleman? And what's the status of Johnny Newton? Let's start with Coleman first. Here is Quinn this afternoon.
It's an example of, like, you can only control the things that you can. And so would it have been better? Yes. But, like, okay, that is not how it went down. But this player's really put in the work, and he's really ready to go. So, yeah, we're excited to get him into it. Would it have been better for him and anybody else? Of course. But like I said, you can only control what you can. But the player is really put in the work and is ready to go.
I think he's starting. I mean, that, I know the unofficial depth chart came out yesterday, and it's just that. It's an unofficial depth chart. You put it out, but every version of every depth chart and every time that he's been healthy, like, he's taken the one reps. Brandon Coleman's starting, and I love what Quinn's message is there. Yeah, it would have been better if he had gotten to practice more, but he didn't. So we're going to live with what we got. He's still the best option. And so you're going to throw him out there and, you know, baptism by fire. See what happens. But, you know, if he has a rough one, okay, like, still believe in the player long term. They'll prop him up. They'll get him back. And that's life in the NFL. Sometimes you have bad ones, but I think Coleman's athleticism, I think his his willingness to work, like, his mental makeup, like, his toughness, all that stuff speaks well to what he's capable of. As for Jerzon Newton, where are we at with his health and his ability to play this weekend? One more time, the head coach.
Yeah, we're gonna work. He'll go work today. And then we'll go limited tomorrow and then work again Friday. And then I'll have a better assessment for you when we get together Friday afternoon. But it'll be good to get him back into the stuff. He's raring to go. But like most things, we're not going to miss a step for him. So I'm going to take it all the way through the week and see where he's at.
It's kind of funny. Every time I feel like they've said that about Jahjon Newton, the next day he's a full participant in practice. And it's like, okay, well, they're not skipping steps, but apparently he's ahead of the program. So I'm curious to see what that means. They're saying the right things. That way, if they pull him back, it's not like, oh, wait, oh, what happened to Jahjon Newton? I thought you said he was good to go. You always, the messaging, it should always be far more conservative in that front on the injuries. And then, hey, pleasant surprise. He's responded well. We love to see it. He's young. He's healthy. Hey, go Jahjon. But, you know, we'll see if he can get to play this weekend. Would be a huge boost. But, again, they kept Fedarian Mathis. That he's going to be one of the primary backups for sure. We'll see if they rotate some guys from the outside, inside. I'm really excited to see the usage packages for this D-line. And, obviously, Newton's going to play a big role in that. But a lot of other things will get learned this weekend as we finally get into the regular season. That is our pick six. We will give you the top headlines for the Commanders multiple times a week at 6 o'clock. So always make sure that you are locked in here on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980. When we get back, we also had our fantasy football draft today. We'll tell you how it went, our league fantasy draft. That's next here on the Team 980.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Earlier today on my YouTube page at Craig Hoffman, we live streamed our show's fantasy draft. Anthony, we did it. You had to be a little bit late, which is funny because we actually haven't talked about on the show. We haven't gone into the reason that you were late today, which is a story, I guess, if you want it to be for the radio, but also, I guess, doesn't have to be a story for the radio if you don't want it to be.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. So there was Anthony got in a car wreck a couple, what, 2 weeks ago at this point?
A week ago.
But it wasn't his fault.
Actually,
he did what he was supposed to do. He stopped, and the car behind him didn't, and it's been a literal pain in the back to deal with.
It has been. Yeah, so I was a little late because I was on the phone with my a lawyer in this whole ordeal, and they were making sure, you know, my PT was getting taken care of and squared away, and that was of utter importance just because my lower back to this day does hurt.
Doesn't feel very good.
No. And I'm talking about routine, putting on my socks. I'm
too young for this.
Yeah, this
too young.
It's ridiculous, actually.
Yeah, so Anthony was not late to draft, folks. Not late to draft, but was late to join the broadcast of the draft. But it's okay. George Carmi did a great job holding it down. My guy Tony Squares, we had a good time. Those guys, George is, and Tony, they're deep into fantasy land. It's funny because, Anthony, I get asked all the time for fantasy advice. That's not surprising considering what we do. And I tell people, I'm actually terrible for fantasy advice because my skew of the league is so Commander-centric. Like, what I do day-to-day is so Commander-centric. And I try to have perspective. I try to follow what's going on with other teams. I try to zoom out to be actually good with the analysis. But when it comes to, like, fantasy, what people really want is, like, oh, who's the sleeper running back from Tennessee that's going to be actually a really good... I'm like, I don't know. I can tell you, I can name like all 90 guys that were on the Commanders until they cut it down to 53. I can name all 53 Commanders. I can't tell you the third running back in Tennessee or the sixth wide receiver in Minnesota. Like, I don't know those dudes. And so there's people whose job it is that write on the internet or do podcasts. Like our guy Field Yates, you know, from ESPN, Matthew Berry, like, pick your favorite fantasy. We have the Reception Perception podcast. James Coe does a great job in the Odyssey family. Like, we got all kinds of people that do fantasy. And their work is out there. And you'd like to ask me, your personal friend, like, I'm going to give you some top secret advice. I don't got nothing for you. And yet I still do decently well every year in our league so far. I finished top half of the league both years. So there's that. We had a good time on the broadcast. If you want to go back and watch it, you can on demand at Craig Hoffman. But the teams is really what people want to know about, Anthony. How do you feel about your team?
I love my team.
I like my team. I don't know that I love my team. I like my team.
I love my team simply because it's a little different than what I did in all my other fantasy drafts. I'm in five fantasy leagues, and this was my fifth one. So I think by the time you get around to your fifth one, you sort of kind of know what you should be, you know, who you should be looking out for, what sleepers you can get late in rounds and things of that nature. So I think this is probably my best draft.
Mm. Yeah, no, this was my first and only draft. So there was definitely a couple of times where I'm like, man, am I dumb? Am I overthinking this? What's going on here? I make a couple of lineup moves real quick. Yeah, so I wound up with my QB1, who I just subbed out because he got a tough matchup in week one, is Dak Prescott.
I love Dak.
Like, he's really good. They're going to throw the ball a ton. Like, he's going to have some 400-yard games this year. Dak Prescott, at the time I got him, felt like a pretty easy pick. My running backs are from your Washington Commanders, Brian Robinson. I think he could have a huge year. James Conner from Arizona, which is hilariously who he gets compared to a lot. My first pick, as I was five overall, I got JJ. I got Jets. Yep. So Justin Jefferson. I got Puka Nacua. Sam Laporta, tight end. I felt like I stole a bit. Man, that's what happens if you get a tight end who's really good, though. I mean, dude set the rookie record for catches for a tight end last year.
You got him in the fourth round or the third?
It might have been like the fifth, bro.
You got him in the fifth?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's pretty good, then.
I think I got JJ, Puka.
Tay Adams.
Yeah, Davante Adams is currently in my flex.
Which was crazy. I was like, dang, you got all three?
Yeah. Laporta. And then I got the Lions and the Bears defenses, Cairo Santos kicker. Then my backups, Chase Brown, I'm taking a flyer on for Cincinnati because he might wind up being their RB1. And if he's really good, they'll ride him. If not, they'll split carries with Zach Moss. But I think Brown has a chance to be the guy who plays more. Dallas Goedert, I'm like, I don't know. When he's healthy, he's awesome. I know there's a lot of other mouths to feed of that Eagles offense, but like they feature the tight end quite a bit. Jameson Williams, boom or bust, but dang, when he booms, business is gonna boom on him. And the reports are he's got a lot more targets in the current version. With you know a couple of guys that they lost in the offseason, they were willing to in part because they believed in Jameson Williams. And then I took the Green Bay shot. I was like, let me go for Romeo Doubs, see if he winds up being awesome. Lions, I've already mentioned, and then Gabe Davis, I took a flyer on. He's literally my last non-kicker pick.
Solid team.
Yeah, that's solid how I feel. Team.
I do feel as though, so when we did the draft, I do feel as though you had a great value pick in the Bears defense. They're one of the slept-on defenses.
Well, especially because they got Tennessee week one.
Well, I'm just looking like full season as well, but yes.
Yeah.
Week one, they also have a great matchup.
I'm kind of a defense by opponent type of guy, typically.
Oh, so you're going to be swapping in and out?
Yeah, but okay. I think between the Lions and the Bears, I'll probably be all right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how often I'm going to... I mean, the Lions' schedule is going to be tough.
Yeah, I was about to say you got a tough one.
But the Bears' schedule, they're going to play a lot of bad football teams, so... Well,
they are also in the NFC North, though, so...
Cheers, mate. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, there's that.
Yeah. And then the only overdraft, I would say, of your team was Brian Robinson, for sure. But I understand Commander Citrick. You think he's going to go for 1,200 yards?
I think he could have a monster year. If I think he could run for 1,100 yards.
Hell of a move.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, was the running backs were getting a little thinner than I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's a bona fide RB1 that they're going to use a lot. Yeah. So sign me up.
I think it's because I took all of the running backs. So my team, I took Jonathan Taylor first. Then I went with – no. Jonathan Taylor – then I took Garrett Wilson. Then I came back and got Joe Mixon, Travis Kelce.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I was like, is Kelce still on the board?
Yes,
and,
he was.
And then he was. And I was like, dang. You got him right before I was going to make the leap. Probably me and everyone else.
Yeah. And then James Cook was still available. I think I got him like either around 60 or 70.
He's the one that fell probably the most of like the top 30 ranked players on ESPN's board.
Yeah.
In part because I took Robinson amongst others ahead of James Cook. And maybe that was stupid. In hindsight, that might have been really dumb.
We will find out.
You got the advantage on that one.
And then I went Zay Flowers. So I only have two really good wide receivers, but my running back core is pretty strong. At QB, if you're a Washington Commanders or Washington, football, Washington franchise fan, Kirk Cousins is my quarterback. Yes, I still believe in Kirk, and I wish we had signed him, but we didn't. Defensively, the Falcons, people sleep, man. Matthew Judon, Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates, A.J. Terrell.
No, that was a great pickup.
Man.
And they got Pittsburgh week one.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to be any good.
So, yeah, those are my starters. And then I have Nick Chubb on my bench, who I'm excited about because I have him in probably like four of my five leagues. He's going to come back, and down the second half of the season, he's going to win me a league or two. So,
hopefully not this one. you did do something very silly at the end of this draft. You took both DeMario Davis and Jalen Polk.
I did.
So you were like, I'm going to double up on Patriots wide receivers in the hopes that one of them is decent.
Yep.
And that's like the worst team you could have done that with. So there's that. You also have Deontay Johnson on your bench. So you have just bad wide receivers on your bench.
Yeah.
You did grab TJ Hockenson and stash him on IR. So I think that was smart. And you have Bo Nix, who, I don't know, fantasy-wise, he might wind up being okay. We'll see. Here's the last thing I need to do, Anthony. I need to figure out what I want to name my team.
Oh, yeah. I got to change my team name, too. What is yours right now?
Mine's just Team Hoffman right now, because I'm someone who likes to see what, like, if I can come up with a fun one based off of the players that I got.
Hmm.
I feel like there's probably a Caleb Williams something.
Oh, I got one for you.
What's that?
Second place.
What's yours?
First place.
Sixth.
I won the league before, Craig.
This is true. That was a good line. That was a good line. I'm not gonna lie. That made me chuckle. I just put it second place. I feel like there's got to be some good, turn on the Jets, something like that.
Okay. You want to do it off one of your top players?
Justin Jefferson. Yeah, Puka. I mean, make you Puka, something like that. I don't know. I'm spitballing here. Those weren't any good.
You got some time before Thursday, tomorrow.
Yeah. A shot of Jameson. I got Jameson Williams. Okay. That one's not bad.
Yeah, that actually wasn't.
It's actually also probably how I'm going to approach Jameson Williams this year. a shot here, a shot there. Not going to be an every weekend occurrence. All right. So I'll figure that out. I'll just put the team that's going to win. Anyway. That was our fantasy draft. It was a good time. When we get back, we wrap up this radio show. That was also a good time. All right, wrapping up here on the Hoffman Show, Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Let's see. Oh, we got a how many unread text messages deal in the Real Things folder. Yep, I'm pretty pumped about that. Also, the White Sox going full White Sox, and our pal Kevin Brown narrating the action on the Orioles telecast. So quickly, Anthony, because I do want to hit both of those in Real Things, what was your favorite part of the show today?
Favorite part of the show? Probably discussing best case, worst case.
I really enjoyed that.
Early in the show, just because, again, it's setting the season up, and it's not necessarily, getting our expectations too high, because we understand there is a floor, but there also is a ceiling as well.
For sure. Tomorrow, we'll make our actual predictions. We'll pick every division winner, MVP, offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, coach of the year. Anything else we need to pick?
I
think that's rookie of the year.
Oh, Super Bowl participants.
Yeah, obviously all the actual winning stuff and then the awards. So we'll do all that tomorrow. Also tomorrow, oh damn, I didn't say this earlier in the show. This is a bad job by me, but better late than never. Dan Orlovsky, everybody. Yeah, ESPN's Dan Orlovsky joins us tomorrow here on The Hoffman Show. Any other housekeeping, Anthony, other than for all of the good stuff we did today, people should check out The Hoffman Show podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Nope, I think that's everything.
excellent. Let's do real things.
Real things.
We're not going to be sub this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. Do we go Kevin calling chaos, or do we go how many unread texts first?
I think we go chaos.
I agree. Last night, the White Sox, they're the worst team in baseball. The White Sox are not exactly a team that has a hallowed history of greatness. They've been terrible a lot in their history. This is the worst White Sox team ever. And on full display last night against the Orioles, and Kevin Brown, my good friend, on the call on the Orioles television network that we know as massive.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out.
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness. The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Pop up, shortstop, third baseman, left fielder, all come together. One dude gets out of the way. The other two just careen into each other. And lo and behold.
White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, you do. And I feel like in the NFL, you have teams like the White Sox. You have the Jets. You have the Bears.
Like, that was a butt fumble level play last night. That's really what it was.
That's how bad it was.
I got an Apple News alert with the White Sox have gone full White Sox. And I turned to Rachel and I was like, man, it must be really miserable being on a terrible baseball team. The season is so long. And little did I know that it'd wind up in Real Things today with Kevin on the call. All right, which team did this, Anthony? How many unread text messages?
So it actually wasn't a team. It was just a series of players. So you got Luka, you got Jason Tatum, and you got Zion Williamson.
Okay, how many unread
and
text
Paolo
messages
Bencaro, my bad.
Do you have?
Me?
How many unread text messages do you have right now?
Damn. Unread text.
Hey, Rico, let me see my phone, the one without a case.
How many phones do you have?
I have two.
I have no idea.
A lot?
Probably.
57 unread texts.
That's not bad.
That's not too bad. I'll respond.
Wow, I have 655 unread messages.
Are you always kind of in the triple digits?
I am. There was a time period where I kind of like took pride in, you know, I don't want to see no number there, but then after a while, you got so many group messages and stuff, it's hard to keep up.
The group chats can be brutal.
For sure.
2,353.
That's the most so far.
I tell people all the time, I'm a bad texter. If you want to really get a hold of me, you probably got to call me.
That's Paolo Bencaro.
Old soul Paolo Bencaro. Hey, call me. There's other people that are like, the worst way to get in touch with me is to call me. Where are you? Are you a call? Or are you
I'd rather you text me, but my parents always say, call me. And I hate when they
I enjoy talking to the phone on the phone to people I want to talk to on my terms.
Yeah.
Text me, just calling me out of the blue, that's presumptuous. Chances you're going to catch me, but like if you want to say, hey, I'll call you after whatever, perfectly fine. I might go call someone on the ride home right now because the show's over.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.